Welcome back in, everybody, and happy Tuesday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Got my partner in crime here today. Scotty, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. It's Tuesday.
Good to have you here.
Make it easier for you.
Yeah, we got to do that. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ. And at Steen on Sports and at Scott Brower underscore 13. You can also check us out on Facebook and on the website. We are sponsored today by a lot of great people. Northwest Bank, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance. Who am I missing? Palmer Group, Woodman Controls.
DeMoss.
There you go. Yep, I got them all. There they are. All right, my next guest. He is Mr. Tim Murray. He's at One Tim Murray. He is on Visa Network, and he's out in Vegas. Tim, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Steen. Always love jumping on.
Well, I appreciate you jumping on. It's been a while. So many things to talk about. I have a couple of fun ones just to kind of start off here. I saw some of these today, and I just wanted to get your take on this. It said, which career would you rather have? A 10-year career in the NFL that you were pretty good, or a 10-year career acting where you won Academy Awards?
Oh, man. Well, if I won an Academy Award, I probably would have like a going rate of like 25 to 30 million a movie, so... I guess I would probably go actor who won an Academy Award.
So that was my, to loosen the mood here a little bit. This is the one I'm really curious about with you. Would you rather have a great O-line and average wide receivers, or have great wide receivers and less than average O-line?
Oh, I'd rather have a great O-line.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Amen.
I totally agree. It can do so many different things. The next one is today, Ryan Tannehill kind of made it clear to everybody that he doesn't think it's his responsibility to mentor Malik Willis. Another former and Hall of Fame quarterback, Kurt Warner, said he would bend over backwards to help whoever he could be. Which quarterback is closer to the truth of a lot of NFL quarterbacks?
Oh, Ryan Tannehill, for sure.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Honesty, I love it.
I agree with that. And I agree. And I, to be really honest, if you were the Tennessee Titans and you want to help the future of Malik Willis, why would you be asking Ryan Tannehill to mentor him anyway? I mean, I think that everybody believes that's the weakest part of that team. So I thought that was just a crazy question. But here's the last one. If you were an undrafted NFL player that still had eligibility, but you went through the whole draft process but didn't get drafted, do you think the NCAA should change that rule and let you come back?
Absolutely. I think, they do it with baseball. And I've always thought that baseball kind of has, overall, one of the better systems going. I worked in minor league baseball for a while, and they might have tweaked the rules. I'm not sure. I think they've shortened the draft, so it might be different. But back in the day, it was you could get drafted out of high school. If you didn't want to go, you had to go. If you decided to go to a 4-year college, you had to wait 3 years or until you were 21. There was a difference if you went to junior college; you could be drafted each year out of junior college. But I think you should, if you do get drafted, I would say that you should be, and you still have eligibility, capable of going back. I don't see how that's detrimental, to them, to weigh options, and to go back. I mean, we've seen first round picks in baseball go back to school. So I don't see the issue. I know basketball has tried to help the process here by extending, out the date of when they have to decide when they go back. So I think, things have gotten better over the years. But I mean, back in the day, Steen, it was just absolutely ludicrous. These high school kids who probably had some bad, people on their side or heard the wrong things. They said, yeah, you're going pro. And then they don't get drafted. And now they're 18 years old and they don't get an opportunity to go to college and to better themselves on the floor and, you know, and education, all that stuff. So long-winded answer to this one, but absolutely. I do think that if you don't get drafted, you know, for me, I'm a Notre Dame fan. You know, I don't know if he would have come back, but, you know, Kevin Austin was, yep. You know, went to college for 4 years, got his degree. And I think right now, you know, he signed with the Jaguars. And a lot of these guys, they might just be done with school. I get it. I was ready to be done with school after 4 years. So they just want to, you know, get paid. But, you know, I think with NIL, you saw it with Oscar Tshiebwe and College Hoops and with many others. It's a good situation now where they have more options than, hey, I'll just go to the G League or I'll go, you know, be on a practice squad somewhere, where instead they could come back and, you know, make some money via their NIL and better themselves for the draft the following year.
I always thought too that, you know, you this year they let them go up to like 12 or 14 days before the draft process. And I'm like, if you're going to let them come that far and go through all that, because I still think they have the capability of getting bad advice. Mm-hmm. I think the whole grading the draft, I wanted your opinion on grading the draft, because these guys talk about draft picks so many different ways. I don't know how you grade them when you have 19 different opinions out there about this one player. And if you took him in the first round, they're going to yell at you. If you took him in the seventh round, well, he's no good. I believe in the first round of draft rankings. And then after that, I think it's all smoke and mirror to get people where they want them to go. And I think it's needed that they should be able to go back.
Well, it's funny. I think, you know, mentioning draft grades, and I understand, look, we're in the media business. We're in the business of getting attention to what we do, you know, getting clicks, all that. So I know why they put out draft grades, you know, these draft analysts. But I thought I saw a really funny anecdote on social media, which said, you know, why do we put so much stock in draft picks or draft grades when it's essentially just, you know, people in the media evaluating draft classes based off their pre-draft rankings when, you know, you're trusting, you know, and this isn't a knock on him. I think he's tremendous at what he does, but Dane Brugler or, you know, these draft analysts more so than front offices. So it's kind of funny when we look at these draft grades. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, you look at Sam Howell. If Sam Howell goes in the first round, like you said, he's, oh my God, I can't believe they just, you know, wasted a first round pick. But now he goes in the fifth round. It's like, oh, what a steal for Washington. Maybe it is. you know, I was kind of stunned that we saw the drop that we saw with all the quarterbacks. And, you know, Malik Willis lasting till the third round was really stunning, because I actually think he has some really unique capabilities and a high upside. I mean, honestly, outside of them, you know, losing a lot of money on their rookie contract, I love the fact that these quarterbacks dropped. And the reason is, I think this now allows those quarterbacks, maybe outside of Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral and, you know, Malik Willis and Sam Howell, all these quarterbacks now get to walk into better situations, less pressure. You know, my co-host Sean King, he didn't have a first round grade on any of these quarterbacks. And I don't think many people did. And now they kind of got drafted even further down than expected. So maybe this is a situation where they get less pressure and it helps their careers, you know, moving forward.
Once again, we're talking to Tim Murray. He's at One Tim Murray on Twitter. When you look at the Las Vegas Raiders draft, a lot of people had them. I think the highest that I saw was a B+. I think the lowest I saw was a C+. But none of them in their draft mentioned Devontae Adams at all. And for me, if I'm looking at their draft, they traded away some draft picks to get Devontae Adams. I think at some point you have to add him back into their draft grade. That would raise their grade quite a bit.
Oh, I definitely agree. And I think you look at a team like Philadelphia, who I think had a really good draft, and I include the fact that they got A.J. Brown. You know, you look at Baltimore, for instance, and I like their draft because I think they got a good piece in Kyle Hamilton, and they were also getting – able to get a first round pick for Hollywood Brown. So, you know, going to Las Vegas and what they got, you know, they got the guard from Memphis and Zamir White, I think, is an intriguing prospect. But yeah, you have to absolutely consider the fact that they get arguably the, you know, top wide receiver in the game for a first and second round pick.
I agree. And what a difference. You could see that Carr looked at that. I mean, he's just like, we're right back where we were when we were in college. I finally have an outlet that when I'm in trouble, I can look for him. We know what we can do. And I think Aaron Rodgers agrees with him.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, based off the odds here in Vegas, I mean, the Raiders are still the fourth option to win the AFC West. So, you know, you look at that trade and the moves that they've made, and I appreciate, you know, the kind of the go all in aspect of what the Raiders are trying to do. And if you've got an opportunity to get arguably the best receiver in the game, you go and do it. And giving up a first and second round pick, you know, isn't the be all end all, especially if you're getting a talent like that. But that all being said, we'll see. I mean, I think there's a lot of intrigue about this Raiders team right now. You know, I think across the league, but then you look at the Chargers, they continue to better themselves. The Chiefs are the Chiefs, and Denver got Russell Wilson. So while Vegas had a great offseason, as did everyone else, it feels like, you know, in their division, maybe outside of the Chiefs. But I love the fact that the Chiefs were able to get, you know, a guy like Sky Moore in the second round. I think he's going to be an instant impact type of player. The type of position that he plays, I think he's, you know, right into a really good role there in Kansas City. So, yeah, I'm fascinated to see this division play out and if these moves by the Raiders, who were a playoff team last year, but do they, you know, bear fruit to the level that I think that Raider fans are hoping for.
If you gave them a B for their draft and some of the offseason moves, does Josh McDaniels up that grade? Does he keep the grade the same, or does he lower that grade?
I mean,
or just no way to know yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent on the Josh McDaniels move. I mean, I know there was a lot of excitement. I would have hired Jim Harbaugh. I think Jim Harbaugh is a tremendous coach. I don't know what Minnesota was doing. You know, if Jim Harbaugh wants to be your head coach, I hire him. You know, and this is coming from a guy who's a Notre Dame fan. I couldn't stand him at Stanford. I don't like him at Michigan. You know, I don't like him because he's really good and he wins. And I know Michigan fans were getting tired of him, but hey, you made it to the playoff this year. And, you know, he has upped the level of Michigan's talent and competitiveness over the years. And then you look at just what he did in San Francisco in 3 years. So, I mean, I was a big believer that Harbaugh was going to be hired by someone this offseason. And, hey, Minnesota had their reasons to go, you know, O'Connell and bring him in and, you know, interview Harbaugh and kind of put him through the ringer as opposed to saying, hey, you know, where do you want to sign? Because I think he would have. I think he would have gone to Minnesota. So, you know, Josh McDaniels, I think it was the guy that, you know, that Mark Davis wanted. And, you know, we'll see if that's the right move. He went back to the Belichick school of rehabilitation for fired coaches. And, you know, he was there for quite some time. I think he had some opportunities from Denver, the time in between his, you know, stint at Denver. So, you know, maybe he has changed. And look, Bill Belichick got fired from his first head coaching job. And now he's the greatest of all time. But I'm kind of in the shoulder shrug, let's see what he's got type of mentality when it comes to this hiring of McDaniels.
Once again, we're talking to Tim Murray. He's at One Tim Murray on Twitter. Would Las Vegas with open arms welcome the Oakland Athletics?
I think so. You know, it's funny. I was at the Las Vegas Aviators game over the weekend. That's the AAA affiliate of the A's. And it's a beautiful stadium, great location. For anyone who's ever been to Las Vegas, there's a area called Summerlin, which is really, really nice. It's kind of west of the city, still part of Las Vegas, and that's where the, you know, Knights practice facility is, and there's a beautiful casino there and all these shops and an outdoor mall, et cetera. So it's a great, great ballpark. it's just not big enough for a Major League Baseball team. I do think ultimately they would accept and welcome in a Major League Baseball team. I'd be very curious, though, because I guess my question is, and I don't know all the finances behind it, I don't know if this stadium was built with taxpayer money. I don't know what they would anticipate from the next stadium. So that's what I don't know is, you know, how do the citizens and the locals of Las Vegas pay for this? Is it a situation where they're, you know, paying for it? So I don't know the answer to that. I think ultimately, big picture question, yes, I think they would welcome it. And it's funny, I was actually talking, you know, my son is, you know, 4 years old, so he was, you know, in the splash pad and the outfield and, you know, running around. So we bumped into a wife of a player for the Aviators, AAA of the A's, and I joked, I said, you know, outside of the bank account, most players and families probably don't want to get promoted. And she said, no, it's absolutely true. She was talking to a wife of a player for Oakland and said, yeah, I mean, you know, the facilities and how they treat us here is top notch compared to some of the accommodations that they have there with Oakland. But I mean, the attendance is laughable. I mean, it's the lowest attendance in 40 plus years for the A's. The facilities are terrible. And I don't know if it will be Vegas, but I think eventually, Steen, the A's will be gone.
All right, buddy, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on today. I'll give you another jingle when the boys and I get ready to head out to Vegas. So looking forward to it.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, Tim. Tim Murray.
He's fun.
He's really good. That's one of those, ask a question and let him go.
Light the fuse and let it roll.
You are listening to Steen on Sports on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Here's a look at traffic.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. A little bit better weather today. Not great. Not for May.
I don't know if it's the 6th, 7th, or 8th day in the 10 day, but there's an 80s.
An 80. Ah, man, an 80.
You know what it's going to do? Fire up the most amazing thunderstorm. Oh,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You it's are listening to Iowa. Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. I will get the podcast up. Nana and my wife Jennifer are running me ragged. They
were good.
They just want to go out and have fun.
Party.
I'm sitting there going, I really need to go downstairs. I need to do this. No. We went out to Barntown last night and had a hoot. So we had fun.
I mowed last night for the first time.
How cool is that for you? You love that.
Oh, dude, to be the fourth in my neighborhood, I was just shaking. But anyway, went to Francie's for a beer afterwards. It's all good.
There you go. This segment will be brought to you by... Let's do Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls is a they started in 1991. They're a company that designs intelligent building solutions for companies throughout Iowa. They're an independent Iowa-based contractor that designs, engineers, installs, commissions, and services building automation systems. It's the reason for one of the buildings that I have. I can see all of our operations on my computer screen 35 miles away, which is extremely nice for me.
And more than just touching the thermostat.
Yes. And one of the things that they're looking for, they're looking for good people to come and join this great company. You can go to woodmancontrols.com and they have application process in there. They show some of the things that are open: field technicians, business development, project manager, service technicians, internships. If you're technologically savvy, if you are mechanically savvy, they are looking for you. Once again, Woodman Controls, and thank you very much for being a part of the program. I told you about Tim Murray.
I need to know more about him.
Really, really, really good at what he does. So what you need to do is after you get done today, go on Twitter, download him, but then download Visa Network.
Okay,
and they have, so they're...
you're funny. I've already been on Twitter and I've already got it downloaded.
I know you do.
Or, excuse me, following him.
I'm just showing people that I'm trying to help.
Yes.
So Visa Network is in the casino at Circa.
VSI, not Visa.
VSIN. VSIN. VSIN.
Okay, gotcha.
And they are right in the middle of the slots in Circa.
Okay.
Which is the one that has the swim up outdoor TV that goes on forever. And their studio is really cool, except for it's I could imagine being there and talking and stuff. It is all glass and people just stand there and stare at you. It's like, oh, look at the animals go. And they're talking. I wonder what they're talking about.
Nice.
It's pretty funny. But he's amazing.
To make a trip out there then, don't we?
Yeah. Yes, we do. so we are taking Nate out there in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Because he turns 21 tomorrow.
Your baby is 21.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th. That is right.
I always say that. I have a November 1st baby, and then have a Christmas baby and a Star Wars baby.
Oh.
So, yeah.
We always split the difference between my May birthday and his May birthday,
yep.
And we always say we're going to go golfing, but it's too cold.
It's too
cold. We're not going to be able to do it.
No, it's too. It is. all right. So, it's Tuesday. You're here. What do you want to talk about?
Wow.
And don't wow like I've never, ever said that before.
I know. And you can tell, obviously, because I went just all over the place up printing stuff out. We haven't talked about draft results yet, but the one thing when it came down to it, after we were looking to see, you know, you worried about what happened to Baltimore. That was really cool that you've got Linderbaum and you also your team.
Oh, I cried. I teared up with Linderbaum.
Right.
I flat cried for Charlie Kolar.
Right. And it just, I really, his intelligence, his athleticism, everything. I'm excited for him. And I'm so excited for Linderbaum to just say, really?
Yeah.
Short arms by half an inch. Watch this.
Let me go.
Just get out of my way.
Let me
go.
Punish people.
But it was interesting. I watched some of it. We were as the first round went on, we were at my daughter's, I should say our daughter's. Kirkwood.
She's part of the family.
She's all of ours. But anyway, so she got an award for I forget what it's called, illustrious alumni or whatever. It was a big deal. So I was not able to watch the draft on my phone. I look across from
Sweet
my table
Chuck.
To my no. It would be Drew, the middle side, and he's looking at his phone. Looks up, and I'm like, I don't want to know. We're at an awards, but anyway, it was so I caught second round, caught third round, things like that, trying to see who went where and stuff. But the one that I really love the what happened immediately with the unrestricted free agents. You know, I've got a list here. There's six of them from Iowa. There is six of them from Iowa State, and there's two of them that are either getting signed to practice squads, to
yep.
opportunities, to all these different things. I mean, that's to me, that's the all right. You didn't get to make it to the podium or even be the very last person at the podium,
which
is a great story.
Right. And people think that's a bad thing.
No, God, no.
He's got 2 weeks of some of the most fun he's ever going to have in his life.
The best one I heard is he gets to not the first pitch in a baseball game. He gets to throw out the last pitch in the game.
Yes.
I mean, but
he's
no.
got a golf tournament he gets to go
yeah.
to. I mean, come on.
I mean, it's.
And I'm telling you right now, he's making the squad.
Oh, absolutely.
I totally believe that he's gonna make the squad.
Good Lord, that was wrong. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
They don't give me a dumb button.
If I was really good, I would have done that. I thought. See, I'm not good at doing the dumb button either.
All right. So no, like I said, just so many of these names. I mean, Mike Rose down in Kansas City. I think that's gonna be a great thing.
I think that's a good thing too. I think that's a keeper. I think that's gonna work. I think that is one. I think he was lucky that he didn't get drafted.
Right.
Because he got to go somewhere and I mean that was within 10 minutes of it ending is when he heard.
A huge amount of these were immediate.
Yeah, just boom.
Jack Kerner going to New Orleans. I think again, these guys aren't getting drafted so high up that there's such an expectation and
right.
this that they get to come in, acclimate, learn and prove.
This will be the thing that I'll tell all Jack Kerner family, friends, loved ones, buddies. I've seen people tell Jack Kerner that he can't do something before.
Oh.
And he always does it. So I'm pretty sure if this is what he wants to do, and you never know. Listen, being in a college football program, It's more fun. It's work, but it's more fun. That going down there and doing all this that's coming up for all of these guys, that is a job.
Right.
I mean, it's a full-time job. And I get that college athletics is not all fun and games, but a lot of it is a lot of fun because it's just something, it's more of a, it's a family and it's all that, man. This is a job, it's a business, and if you have a bad day, you better not have two.
Oh, yeah, because there's the joke for forever that I've always heard, the NFL stands for not for long if you play that way.
Yep, and that is a thing, and a lot of those guys, I think they're gonna be really good. I'll give you another one. There's a really good chance this year that Breece Hall runs for 700 yards and has 80 catches. I mean, that's how much they're going to use him, especially out of the backfield.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
I think that's a great place for him to go. I kind of want him to go to Buffalo. I mean, you and I were like, man, Buffalo would have been really cool.
Well, being an AFC East fan, I'm like, no, the good fit for him as an Iowa State fan was he should go to Buffalo. But as an AFC East fan and a Dolphin fan, no, I did not want him to go to Buffalo. Yeah. So.
And that's the thing. The Jets did something they haven't done in a long time. They had a good draft.
Well, and see, everybody said that. And I'm like, okay, it's Jets ownership. It's Jets coach. And then you're like, well, they've changed this. They've changed that.
Best wide receiver. They got the best offensive lineman, best defensive lineman on a whole from a lot of different people, and the best running back in the draft, and got them where they got them at.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they upgraded their draft so much. It wasn't because they got all those guys. It was where they got them and slotted.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Breece Hall deserved more money than what he's going to get because he's in the second round. And so that's a bonus for them.
I'd love to see how that structures out.
I know.
I mean, we were talking about that.
He's still going to be fine.
When we were going over to games, Brandon had games over in Cedar Rapids for Mount Mercy. The regular season's done. They're heading down to the Ozarks, Missouri I forget if it's district or conference play, but anyway, that starts Thursday. They head down tomorrow. But Grandpa and I were talking about that. And he goes, how much do you think of it is of a difference between getting the first round, you know, chosen the first round or fourth round? And I think it really drops off.
Fourth round, that's big. That's a couple $1 million.
But I mean, it's got to be a reverse bell curve going from first round, second round, and then because you're not guaranteed as a fourth round pick to truly make the squad.
No.
It doesn't put you on there.
You do have some guaranteed money. I mean, and here's a fact, and this is the only one that I saw. Chase Allen has to sign with, as a free agent with the Chicago Bears, got $75,000 guaranteed.
Okay.
Just going there and trying out, he got $75,000. I would assume the rest of them got somewhere close to that.
Okay.
So, you know, the difference, I think some of the signing bonuses from, I think that's where like Breece Hall, his signing bonus went down a little bit, but not very much. By the time you get to the fourth round, fifth round, you're probably in the $500,000 range
because
of signing bonus.
Yeah, there's a certain amount that goes with, hey, I am a first round pick. Okay, we negotiated this beforehand. If you go first round, boom.
You're slotted, and all those are slotted.
Exactly.
And the only thing that can change, you have a plus or minus on signing bonuses as you go, but the actual dollar amount is slotted.
Right.
So, I mean, it's good to go in the first round or the second round. The third round's where it really, not that it drops significantly, but it drops quite a bit. So you go from, say the first you could be up in the $4 to $6 million, then top of the second round you're probably at the $2 to $4 million.
Oh, I wouldn't even go that high. I think it drops off quicker than that.
I think Breece is going to be where he got picked, and his deal is they also slot after the first round. They slot more on position, where in the first round you're slotted on where you were drafted.
Right.
Second round through the end, it's, are you a wide receiver? Are you a quarterback? Are you a lineman? Are you a punter? Are you a kicker? Which, there were more punters and kickers. And I thought this was really funny that people were like, well, what the heck are they doing spending a third or fourth round pick? The Cincinnati Bengals were in the championship game because of their kicker and their punter.
Yes.
And if you can find a kicker that you don't have to worry about from 60 yards and in that he's going to make a kick, or you have a punter that can do what you want a punter to do, you pay them money anymore.
Oh, dude. That's, I'm telling
they're willing to pay kickers and punters more than they're willing to pay running backs right now because running backs are a dime a dozen.
Well, Matt Hawk, who was at Miami and then went to Buffalo. I mean, good Lord. The way he
can
put... And
Buffalo drafted a punter.
Well, that's on them, I guess.
I don't think I told my wife that. She's going to be, why did they do that for?
But no, it's still... Every little corner of the game means that edge. And I mean, if now it's we've got that the punter and the kicker can do, have to check this off the list. And like what you said, running backs are a dime a dozen. That's why running backs aren't running backs like they were 15 years ago. Running backs are 7 to 10 yard receivers. They're what happens when they get the ball. It's different.
And if you can block.
Yeah.
Like you can pass block and then go out, you're worth more. Breece Hall absolutely does that.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you wanted some people to say that, it wasn't that far-fetched on who was the best running back and the fourth best running back, there were a bigger – when you listen to people that you probably can trust more, there was a bigger difference between Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker from Michigan State than what people were giving credence to.
Yep.
The people that always say – that there wasn't was because of their Big Ten SEC bias more than, how good the player was against good competition. So it's fascinating to see everything that happened. This was a funny one that hit me yesterday. If you can be a quarterback and you can get into the NFL, Nick Foles got paid $8 million to be cut from the Chicago Bears. $8 million. And the reason they paid his $8 million was because if they'd have paid him the other way, then they would have taken – it would have taken more money out of their salary cap. I think they only had to take one-eighth of that off their salary cap by paying him $8 million up front.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I was going to say, you've got your head coach, your assistant coach, and then you've got your accountant because he's really important.
And of all the things since you started with the draft, I thought this was the most intriguing one. Except for we're going to run out of time, so I'll tease that one there. And I'm going to come back in and I want to ask you some of the same questions that I asked Tim to see what you have for answers on there as well. The big one that, so Zach, he's up in Chicago for work and I think he was bored driving. He had to drive everybody day. He calls me yesterday and says, hey, can you wake me up tomorrow morning just to make sure I'm up? Cause I got to be out to work at 6 o'clock. And he goes, I'm going to try to be a little bit later, so maybe I don't have to drive. He gets there. What does he have to do? He's driving. So not that he drove his own car.
Right.
But you are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Scott and I got a ton to talk about. We're on the third segment of this hour already. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700, The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. Drive safely home. Could be, as far as we know, it could be 80 degrees outside because you can't see. But I'm thinking it's more cloudy and rainy probably right now.
It's hovering in the mid-50s and probably moist.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, he said moist.
Really?
Really? You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at ScottBrower_13, at Steen on Sports, or at 1700 The Champ. Website 1700thechamp.com. This next segment will be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. They are a health-centric company providing innovative building maintenance janitorial services around the Midwest. They are future-focused and driven by technology, challenging us to always find healthier, more efficient ways to serve our clients. Through this constant discovery process, our team helps you provide the highest quality, safest, and most healthy indoor environments possibly. It's kind of a big deal anymore. We did just come out of a pandemic. So a lot of people take that stuff. At least, everybody can fight about all the rest of the stuff, but making sure that your place of business is doing the utmost that it can to keep everything safe, clean air, clean surfaces is a huge deal. And that is on the top of Heritage's list. If you want to get a hold of them, their phone number is 515-868-0842, or you can go online to heritagebldg.com, heritagebuilding.com, and check out exactly what I'm looking at here. It tells all about them, all the different associations and stuff that they have, and other ways that you can contact them. I want to thank Heritage for being a part of the program. When we go out and do some stuff, they'll, and I think they're going to, once we're pretty much getting to a point now, as long as you're vaccinated, which if you work for a cleaning company, you're definitely vaccinated, of letting people come in. They want to come in and just sit and talk. It's much easier to talk about Heritage Building Maintenance with people that actually...
Oh, you mean in studio?
Yeah, in studio.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it's the...
And maybe they can come in and clean my studio.
There's nothing wrong with
nothing,
this.
No, I'm
nothing
just wrong teasing. With this. Stop.
In a trailer park kind of a way, but
yes.
Yeah.
This one intrigued me today. So, Brittany Griner.
Yep.
And WNBA basketball player, a really good WNBA basketball player, was over in the Soviet Union basketball camps and playing basketball over there, and had, I don't even know, it's not called marijuana oil. I don't even know what it's called. And the Soviets just decided that, hey, we're going to detain her.
What would we describe it as older people? It was a vape device that had a CBD oil,
CBD
or
oil.
THC or whatever they say.
I'll go with that. I agree.
It was
a
big no-no in Russia.
Right. And our government over here was like, oh, she's just being detained. And now yesterday they came and said, yeah, we think we want to change that to she's being illegally detained.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, what changed your mind on that? The simple fact that Russia probably shouldn't be detaining somebody. So we just said, yeah, now we think that she's this. And maybe because now maybe we're detaining some people over here too.
Well, that's what it is, I forget the name. We did a trade with them.
Right.
We released somebody, they released somebody. Now it's escalated to that. So now it becomes.
Exactly.
All right, who do you want?
But we'll still got it. When somebody like that, you would hope, and I have no idea. I just thought it was funny that all of a sudden you go through the weekend and, yeah, now she's illegally detained.
Well, like I said, it becomes a negotiating thing different than what it was before.
How old do you think The Rock is?
The Rock is 50,
he
man.
He is 50. Isn't that crazy?
Absolutely.
You know, when you go back and look at, do you watch, we have, if we're up eating dinner.
Are you talking the old WWE days?
Well, no, but it's.
When he had the sideburns and he was chubby?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. No, when he was at Miami, it's that Rock, the show that's on NBC.
Oh.
And Nana watches NBC.
Young Rock or whatever.
Young Rock, yeah. And to see him, the show is actually funny.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it is really funny. It's hard to believe that he's 50, and it's hard to believe that where he was to where he is now, just it's amazing. I mean, what you have fairy tale success stories that pretty sure that's a fairy tale success story.
They say it's $7 to his name, and they give you the date and everything, and now he's worth $30 million or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it's $300 million, but
exactly.
But I'm still, there's nothing more epic than the mock neck with the gold chain and the fanny pack. I don't know how many people have gone to Halloween as that, but that is epic.
So what I was going to say before we went, one of the biggest things, and this was Zach, as soon as it happened, you know, not the draft, not his team and who they drafted, was Porsche and Audi are getting ready to join F1.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. So, I mean, that was big news for...
I mean, Porsche is one thing, but Audi,
He was big news for Zach that this is what's happening in F1 racing.
That's cool.
Everything that he calls me about in sports anymore has something to do with
wagering?
With wagering or F1 racing, which is what he wagers on the most. So getting back to what I asked Tim before, if you could have a choice, you could have a 10-year good NFL career or a 10-year great acting career, what would you take? I said award winning for him because I wanted to see if I could get him to do. I didn't think no matter what I said about acting, he would do that.
I was going to say I would probably go with the acting. I mean,
you're going to be able to get out of bed when you're 50.
Well, and plus you've seen me throw a baseball. It's not attractive at all. So no, I'd go with acting.
Oh my gosh, that brought back a picture. Whoa. And I mean, you can relate to this next question.
Yes.
Would you rather have a great O-line and average wide receivers or great wide receivers with the less
than you feel better? Wow. That's kind of a, move.
Maybe a Dolphin dig in there somewhere.
I would take the offensive line.
I would too.
All day long because a great offensive line can make mediocre receivers great receivers if you have time.
Right. And that's the thing. And you can make I'm still getting it.
There's no cameras, right? Because you're number one, buddy. You're number one.
They are a great offensive line, also makes a mediocre quarterback at least serviceable. I think that's the most. It was funny that they used running back. I would have used quarterback, but they used running back. And mm-hmm. I guess it does. Do you think that it is the starting quarterback's job to help mentor somebody that's competing for your job?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think it's we've seen it a few ways of, you know what, I'm going to help them. I've had my time but that's guys that are very far and few between, because now anybody, if you draft a quarterback, it's, oh, well, we're trying to find my replacement, or are you cutting me? I mean they can have, you know, a lot of success going on. Look at Aaron Rodgers, for Pete's sake. This has been the biggest deal up and down about, you know, bringing in somebody else. He's not mentoring. He's like, get him out of here.
Right. And you can tell what kind of person he is compared to, like, Jimmy Garoppolo. They brought in somebody, and Jimmy Garoppolo is actually probably going to lose his job to him and have to find another team. And Aaron Rodgers, he's a different cat.
If you
haven't figured out.
So is Jimmy G's different, too. He's just like, all right, man, I'm here.
I'm good.
The check still cashes, right?
The person the most that I would like to switch careers with right now would be Pat McAfee. That dude is hilarious. He was hilarious.
He was hilarious until he got unbridled, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And he is, like I said, I used to listen to him back. He was a guest on the Bob and Tom show.
Yep.
And he would come on and he'd talk about his leg, the boomstick, and how he was the best hitter in the NFL as a punter. I mean, the way he could tell stories, you're like, oh, he's special.
He is.
And,
you know, it's funny too, because when I first started, it was probably right after, probably the first few shows that I did after Wolfgang passed away, and Pat McAfee signed with CBS. And I mean, it was a big deal. I'm thinking, oh man, that's awesome. Pat McAfee is going to be leading into my show. It's going to be pretty cool. He did about 6 months of commercialized radio and went, whoa, I'm going to get sued, or not sued. I'm going to get fined so much money.
Fined so big.
I got to get out of here. And it's pretty amazing what he's been able to do.
You know, you said, you just said the Mother's Day. It was right before that. When was it, last year we did had the moms on?
Yes.
Okay. Because you had a baseball, Division One baseball mom, a Division One golf mom. You had, and then you had Jack's mom, right? We had Kerner on.
Yeah.
Okay. We should have asked, what you think your son's going to do great in the NFL?
Exactly.
Because now he's in the NFL.
He is. And you know, it's really funny. I swear. Tell him he can't do it.
Right.
And he'll do it. I think
this is going to be fun to watch.
I think if somebody wouldn't have said something like that to him, maybe he isn't where he is.
So many names we get to watch. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be fun. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Second hour, a lot to talk about. Be right back.